passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And we are back. It's been a busy afternoon. A number of guests have dropped by here, and we'll continue to take more of your phone calls. Let's talk to Mike next in Georgia. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. Good afternoon.
Mike.
Hello. Did not answer the call. How about Mary up next? Hello, Mary.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I just want to talk to you about Alabama. I know that we've had a lot of changes, and I guess I just want to know your perspective. What do you think?
Well, I think it's like trying to evaluate something in progress, and you can react in the moment and say, number of great players have left. On top of that, you've had two critical coaches depart. Within a month, the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, you can't find any more important coaches than that. You can say, okay, well, that happened. The portal will open again in 2 months and some players will come in. And no matter what you say and no matter how you say it, Alabama is still one of the six or seven best programs in the country. But I think we're so used to Alabama being the best or one or two that it is an adjustment.
It's sad for us. I guess I just didn't expect it, and I think a lot of us have felt, I don't know, just we wonder what really happened. Why did Coach Saban leave? I know his age and all of that, but I just, we were
Mary, I can't speak for him, and he's been pretty quiet, but we'll hear a lot from him in the future. But I think more than anything, he had accomplished pretty much everything that anybody could possibly do. I think he looked at his age, he looked at his health, he looked at how much money that somebody who makes $12 million a year from one job and who knows how much more from others accumulates. And he said, you know what, I'd like to do some other things. He's still going to make a lot of money from ESPN. He's still going to make a lot of money doing things that all famous people do, from commercials to whatever. And he said, why do I want to have to sit around and beg players who I've already committed to remain on staff and have to deal with players who have their hands out, whose parents have their hands out, whose agents have their hands out, when I can enjoy my life? It's the same thing that I mean, most of us don't have that opportunity. Most of us are either let go, laid off, work because we have to, because we don't make that kind of money. So I think it's impossible for anybody, I think, that I know, or you know, maybe you know some other people, but I can't relate to having the kind of slate that he has. But based on what I understand, he just decided, I'm going to walk away and enjoy my life.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I just appreciate your input.
Thank you very much. Listen, I don't think there's an easy answer. Do I think he misses coaching? No, not today. I think he is doing things that he hasn't had the opportunity to do in a long time. Do I miss talking to Larry from Shelby? I don't know, because he apparently is unhappy with the way we treated him earlier.
Oh, no, hell no. That ain't why you treated him, why you hung up on my
Larry, you were not making any sense, okay?
You got on leash. I'm talking.
Okay.
You keep them puppy dogs on the leash, you got talking crazy-ass stuff I ever heard. And you can at least have a respectful bye. Hell, that wasn't even half respectful.
Larry, I was trying to help you out. Larry.
If you don't want me to call, you say so. I don't need your show, man. I love calling it because of people.
Larry, do you have any idea how much we value you as a caller?
I wish you'd show it.
Do you have any idea how many people called when you were in the hospital?
Hell yeah, I've stuck with you all the time, man. I've stuck up for you too. And I'll tell you something, all I ask is a little more respect.
Larry,
goodbye.
Hold on. Larry, don't go anywhere.
I'm going to go.
Larry, I want you to apologize. Hold on, Larry. Give me, on behalf of Randy, were you laughing at Larry earlier?
No.
You were not?
No.
I wasn't. So who was? Larry, we owe you an apology. We treated you like just a normal caller as opposed to the king of Siam.
I hate that. You make me rude to me. Damn. Come on, man.
Larry, what can I do to make it up? Is there anything I can do?
I mean, a freaking funeral home.
Would you?
Damn.
Larry, I've already offered to give you a eulogy for free.
Well, just a little more respect.
Larry,
talk to Randy next time.
Randy, wow. Hold on. Yeah, Randy, what do you want to say?
I'll be his pallbearer.
Randy has volunteered to be your pallbearer.
That's good, Randy. I appreciate that, man.
Here are the pallbearers right now for your funeral.
What are you going to do about that?
I've got you. I've got Jim from Tuscaloosa.
He ain't going to do it.
I'm in.
I wish he would.
I'm in.
I don't know if he would.
Legend.
I'll let Legend. He's class. Yeah, I hate to say it, but he is.
Who else you want?
I want that woman that was talking to you, that blonde. Adrian, what's her name?
You want Adina?
Yeah, she looks good, man. Oh, yeah.
Larry, I could hook you up.
There you go, boy. That's hey, I need something for you.
Larry, would hooking you up with Adina make up for me being rude a minute ago?
Woo! Hell yeah, baby.
Okay, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. We got Cha-ching. You. We got ourselves the first hookup post Valentine's Day.
Cha-ching.
Larry.
I know it. They talk about it on the Fox News that that damn what is them pills we was talking about? Viagra. They keep
Viagra.
Alzheimer's. They keep you from having Alzheimer's.
Oh really? Give me some.
Yeah, they do. That's real. So you go take you some.
Hey, Larry, one more thing. Is there anything, I feel like we need to make this up to you, okay?
Yeah, buddy.
Is there anything you need?
Yeah.
Anything you want other than Adina?
Beer and a woman.
Beer and a woman.
Viagra.
I can handle the Viagra easily. You got a prescription
got
for it?
We'll
just fake it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We'll get you the Viagra. So I'm sure there's a drug rep driving home right now that will forward.
Yeah, now we're talking. Now we talking.
Okay, we got you. We got your vial of Viagra. We got you Adina. What kind of beer are you drinking these days?
Yeah, I'm back to Bud Light.
Okay, Bud Light's okay now that Peyton Manning endorsed it. And
yeah.
Okay.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like him, but it's all right, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But at least the Viagra, I won't get Alzheimer's. What it means is you won't.
Now, Larry, you know the problem if you take too many Viagra.
I could never take too many.
You're going to end up in the emergency room, and they're going to say, we got a problem here, buddy.
That's one thing I'm a professional at. Loving.
Okay.
Woo! A lover, undercover brother.
Hey, Larry. Thank you. Can I hang up on you or not? I want you to hang up first.
Yeah,
I don't want to have a pat
tide,
situation.
Buddy.
Remember,
roll
she.
Tide.
Okay, roll tide. Let's go to Randy is a young guy compared to our next caller.
Okay.
Larry was a young guy. Eddie is up next.
Hey, Paul, always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
The 90, are you 95 or 96, Eddie?
Be 96 in April, Paul.
You don't look a day over 95.
I guarantee you, I'm starting to feel it, though.
I was with Eddie in December, and we had to get up on this stage because they were giving Eddie an award. Eddie got up there faster than I did.
Well, you're the only guy I've ever seen they booed, too, right? That's embarrassing.
Hey, Eddie, did I tell you this? The SEC Nation crew was on the float at the Tournament of Roses parade.
Yeah.
And when it was over, a guy told me all these Michigan fans were there. They were spitting on me and throwing things. I'm the only person that's ever been booed in the 100-year history of the Tournament of Roses parade.
Well, that's a real honor, Paul.
Oh, I'm happy with it.
Hey, listen, well, the reason I really called, some guy called earlier from Mobile, wanted to know some things about people in Mobile. You got talking about Kenny Stabler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was speaking at a Red Elephant Club, and after about 10 minutes for the applause to die down when I got through, some guy asked me, he said, who would you love to have if it's 4th and 3 and you got to have it? What quarterback would you have? And honestly, Paul, without thinking, I just said Kenny Stabler. And I said without thinking, I really meant it. Kenny may run the wrong play and run the wrong play, but he's going to get that 4th and 3. But Kenny was, as you know, quite a character. But a lot of people that don't really realize about Kenny, he was a hell of a baseball player.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that, but I've heard that.
Yeah, he was a pitcher, and he could roll one off the table. He was a great baseball player. But anyway, Paul, always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy, and I appreciate your time.
Eddie, let's keep doing this. We've had quite a vaudeville act. Let's keep it going. It's too good to turn too right. Good to end now.
Okay, buddy.
Eddie Conyers, the one and only. It was a thrill seeing Eddie in December. He was honored at this event that I was hosting, and just an inspiration. Funny guy, 95. Don't think age is a factor. He's no different. He's no funnier at 95 than he was at 75. We'll take a short break, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back on what an afternoon this has been. It's been chaotic at times, but we are going to try to keep the faith. Yankee Rick in Albany, New York. Hello, Yankee.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Well, I appreciate your taking my call today. Watch your show for years. Love everything that goes on. It's been a little while since Nick Saban left Alabama. My daughter is a graduate from 2019, and I'm a Roll Tide fan. And I've just been listening to everybody going crazy about changes being made, new coaches coming in, and everybody freaking out that Alabama may not be as good as they always are. And I guess my opinion is pretty simple. Without the proper horses, the carriage isn't going anywhere. And I guess my point is Alabama has a plethora of fabulous, fabulous football players. And I guess my analogy would be that if Nick Saban was coaching a mule, and I'll throw Legend out there because he seems to yell the most. And he was coaching Secretariat. Who would you put your money on to win the race?
Yeah,
and I know who I put my money on.
Exactly.
It's Secretariat with Legend at the helm. So I'd like to see the Alabama fans, you know, go back to being patient. It's going to be a great new era, and I think the new head coach DeBoer, he certainly has a great resume. He's been highly recruited, and I'm sure Nick Saban was very much behind his hiring. And I just like to say to all the Alabama fans out there that are getting frustrated, it's going to be okay.
Hey, thanks for the call, but I totally disagree. First of all, I don't think Nick Saban was that involved in the search, but Alabama fans aren't normal fans. They don't compare themselves to other schools. They compare themselves to absolute perfection. Joe, good afternoon.
Roll tall roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? It's hard to compare yourself to something else when you're perfect. I mean, it's just, you know, we ain't totally perfect, but, you know, we're 99.9% perfect, Paul.
Right.
And there's a couple of things I want to mention here, Paul. Eddie Conyers, man, I love every time you get him on
the phone. He is incredible.
He is. That's one of the highlights. I love anytime you got him on because the stories he has, man, I'd love to just sit down and spend a whole afternoon with him. I mean, he just never met him, but, man, he just sounds good. I love it when you got him on the phone, Paul. I love it. And I want to say this, Paul. I went out to – ended up going to Lash's restaurant last night.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about Handsome Joe's Valentine's evening.
Well, we got there, and I got the pretty much a big platter. I mean, I had shrimp, I had crab, fish.
You got the fried platter, right?
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Yeah, I figured you're a platter man.
Yeah, and she just had wanted the shrimp, so, I mean, that's pretty much all she wanted. Shrimp.
She wanted, like, broiled snapper. At a fried fish place.
Yeah, but I'm going to say this. I lived in Florence. I mean, it's been probably 12 years since I lived in Florence.
Yeah.
And I lived up there for about 10 years. But I run into a lady that I used to do air conditioning work on.
Right.
You know, I'd go out to her house and actually install the whole system in her house. But her name's Miss Withers. I can't remember her first name, but she'd been divorced for 20 years. And she said she still dated some, but not nothing seriously.
No, this wasn't your date. You just ran into this woman, right?
Yeah. Her kids took her out for
Valentine's Day. So, Joe, you're at a restaurant on Valentine's night with a date, and you're hooking up with some other lady?
No, not really, Paul. Get this now. She's a little bit older than I am. She's about Larry's age.
Oh. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with a slightly older woman.
But she actually watches the show.
Oh, okay.
And all of her kids watch it. And she said, I saw a picture, but I didn't know if that was you because you live in Florence. And it says from Red Bay. And I said, well, I'm actually from Red Bay. I live in Red Bay now. I just lived in Florence when they did air conditioning work on you.
Right.
I said, but if you're still single, I know a good man for you. I said, you know Larry? She said, yeah, the Larry from Shelby. I said, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You're trying to hook her up with Larry? What did she say?
She said, hey, I like him. He's got a nice profile picture when he's up there. And I said,
oh, yeah, Larry's a good-looking guy.
Profile picture.
Yeah. I told her he drinks a little, you know, he's
Did she think she could, is she a Bama fan?
Yes.
Well,
she
don't
mind if he drinks a little bit. She don't mind that. She drinks
He'd pass out quicker.
A little bit herself.
Yeah.
But this is the kicker, Paul. She don't live on the river, but she got a two-story mansion, and this woman is loaded to the gill.
Hey, Joe, hold on a second. Can we go off the air for a second here?
Yeah.
If she's loaded to the gill, you want her number, Randy? Randy needs her number.
Hey,
forget Larry.
I promise you she gets along with everybody. She's
okay, does she want to meet Larry?
She said she wouldn't mind it.
Joe, let's do this, because I you heard Larry a minute ago. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He sounded pretty lonely.
He did. Well, I mean, I think Larry just trades them out every week.
You ever heard that song? I think it's John Party, Last Night Lonely.
Yeah, well, I don't think Larry's that lonely, Paul.
I think he is. I want to hook them up. We'll cover it. I mean, we'll not cover it, but I mean, we'll We'll do whatever we have to do.
Hey, they can marry and then adopt me. And I was going to say, man, she got a heated pool out by, I mean, okay. You can swim out there in the wintertime. I mean, she's got it going on. I mean, it's.
Well,
she's about 70 years old. So, I
70 would be, Larry's 74, I think.
Right. So that's what I mean. She's close to Larry's age. So my girl,
we're going to be, this could be her last night lonely.
It could be. Hey, she could have Larry cry like a baby.
Now, Joe, do you know Larry? You've met Larry, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I like
okay,
Larry.
Do you know how to get a hold of Larry?
I do, yep.
Okay, well, I promised Larry, and I want you to help me here. I'm leaning on you. So you let Larry know what's going on. You hook them up, and we will cover the dinner, their first dinner together. I mean, you'll cover it, right, Randy?
Hey, what's the difference?
Randy will cover it.
There's one other part I'd
Hey, by the way, if we send them just to this fish place, what are we talking about for two people?
It's pretty expensive. I can tell you that. But
give me a route. What's the fried fish platter cost?
About $34. I paid for two meals, Paul, so I'm not sure what it was. It cost me about $70.
Well,
is what it cost me. So,
can we find someplace cheaper? Captain D's, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Are you up for $70? You up for 70?
No.
Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll dinner for two. Randy,
I'll cover the first 50.
Can you get the guys in the booth to chip in?
Yeah.
I'll throw in. I'll handle the tip. Maybe about on a $70 bill, $7?
Yeah, $7.
I was going to tell you one more point about her. But then I remember.
Hey, Larry will handle the drinks. Danny will handle the dessert. I'll handle one entree.
And I'll film it. I'll run the camera.
You run the camera. Joe, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We'll handle it. More to come. We have a guest coming up here. And more of your phone calls. Brendan Steenbergen will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Ready to talk about a far gone day when some really interesting things happened at one of the current SEC schools at the time they were not in. Brendan Steenbergen joins us. He graduated of Mizzou, has spent a lot of time there working in various capacities, and he's written this book with a foreword by Gary Pinkel entitled Respectable Roughnecks, The True Story of a Forgotten Champion. Brendan, thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to hearing about this. I know your affiliation with Mizzou may answer part of this question, but when did you first become aware of this extraordinary story and what prompted you to dig deep and write this book?
Well, you know, when Missouri joined the SEC way back in 2012, there were a lot of folks that said Missouri doesn't really fit in this conference culturally, and the history of the program doesn't match up with some of the teams that have been in there for ages. And Missouri, I knew as a Missouri graduate, as a staff member at the time, that Missouri football had its glory years. But I grew up in the 1980s when Missouri football was at its nadir, I'd say. And so I didn't know a great deal about it. But there was always this lingering story you'd hear from old timers about this great season where Kansas cheated Missouri kind of out of a national championship, and I didn't really know what that was about. And so after doing a little bit of digging, you see that Missouri's got this 11-0 season in 1960 with an asterisk after the Kansas game, yet they weren't national champions even after an Orange Bowl victory over the number 4 team in the country who had the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver on the team. And so after doing a little digging, you find out that it's not just a great story about a rivalry between Missouri and Kansas, but there's a bunch of great stories involved, including racial tensions with the Missouri having the first ever African-American player on the team and dealing with all the consequences of being in the middle of the civil rights era, and just a lot of personal stories and a lot of firsts for the program, including the first time Missouri was ever ranked number one in the country, first Orange Bowl win, first consensus All-American. The list goes on and on for this 1960 team. And as I got going and reading and being more kind of engrossed in it and going down that wormhole, I said, this would make a great story, make a great book. And there's probably a lot of folks like me who are just a little too young to remember those days, but are big Tigers fans and would like to hear about it.
And Brendan, what's so interesting, and I didn't know, I mean, I'd heard anecdotal conversations about the Missouri-KU rivalry, but right as Missouri was coming into the SEC, someone invited me to Kansas City, Missouri, that is, and to speak to the local Missouri Tiger booster group. And I mean, the stuff I heard, we had a little time to kill, and they were going to show me Arrowhead in the baseball park. And at some point, I'm not sure the radio station I had to do my show from that day may have been in Kansas, and my host like said, I'm not going into Kansas. I mean, I did not. I mean, that is not to you because you're a Missouri person, but that rivalry is pretty intense.
It is. I mean, it dates back to the Civil War, and most people will tell you that. I mean, Missouri doesn't really look great in the way it stood as a slave state and Kansas as a free state, but there was a border skirmish that went on 10 years before the Civil War called Bleeding Kansas, and there's been animosity between the two states ever since. Norm Stewart, of course, the longtime basketball coach here at Missouri, famously said he wouldn't spend a nickel in Kansas when he went to Lawrence. He gassed up before he got across the state so that they wouldn't have to buy gasoline in the state of Kansas. It's been going on for a long time, and I think this 1960 season was probably the zenith of the hate between the two schools, although it did pipe up again in 2007 when Missouri was again number one in the country.
Brenda, let me ask you about the player you mentioned who broke the color barrier, because we talked to so many of these young people at the time, now obviously in their 70s, who older, who went through that. Missouri was, compared to all the SEC schools now, was early. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Norris Stevenson is the name of Missouri's first black football player. He came in, actually was recruited under Frank Broyles, who spent 1 year as the head coach at Missouri. And then after he left to go to Arkansas, Dan Devine was his coach. You know, all these teams and all these programs have their own Jackie Robinson, and Norris Stevenson was that for Missouri. He was quickly followed by a guy named Mel West, who came a semester later. So the two of them served in this 1960 season as the only black players on Missouri's team. And of course, he faced all the hardships you might imagine. You say Missouri was a little bit ahead of some of these SEC programs, but nationally, they were not trailblazers when it came to race relations. And so Dan Devine came from Michigan. He'd coached out at New Mexico, and he was comfortable with, you know, having an integrated team, and a lot changed, you know, starting with those late 50s, early 60s teams. And later on, I mean, people in the SEC country may be surprised that, you know, Missouri's kind of a strange place. They played Dixie in the band and waved Confederate flags after every touchdown in that era. And the players like Norris Stevenson and Mel West obviously did not love it. And a few years later, that would change. But you know, Columbia, Missouri has been regarded, or the area around this part of Missouri has been regarded as Little Dixie. And so there were certainly a lot of racial tensions that Norris and Mel had to face. And I think they handled it really gracefully and really are sort of heroes in this part of the world.
So, Brendan, not to give away the whole book, but it's pretty obvious. So what makes this such an amazing story? So take us to this still disputed game. It's not really being disputed. Missouri flat out doesn't view it any way but a cheat, do they?
That's right. There was a player named Burt Cohn for the University of Kansas, and he'd come out of Texas, and he was with TCU and was recruited illegally by a guy named Bud Adams, who I think sports historians and football fans will know, started the Houston Oilers program, co-founded the AFC with Lamar Hunt, and he was a Kansas graduate, and he did everything he could to bring players to the University of Kansas, and Kansas at that time had a reputation for bending the rules as much as they could get away with, and the NCAA at that time didn't have much of an enforcement arm, and not that they do today, but at that time it was bad too. I mean, it really there are a lot of parallels between today and at that time, because it was as bad as it is now with the fights about the playoff and how many teams there should be and who should get in and who shouldn't. It was even crazier back then. And so anyway, Kansas recruited this guy Burt Cohn. They knew he'd been recruited illegally halfway through the season. The NCAA took away any bowl possibilities from Kansas. They played him anyway, and so the conference then stripped the university of any win that he had played in, which included this Missouri game, which sadly they beat the Tigers on the field, but it was taken away.
So I used to live in Alabama, and they've got a bushel of national championships where I think one in the 40s, they came in third in the SEC, but they still claim it. So how does Missouri end up claiming this as a national championship?
Yeah, and that's really the million-dollar question and sort of the crux of this book. I mean, I think in 1965, actually, you mentioned Alabama, they were named national champions and then lost the Orange Bowl. And so that was, I guess that was a 64. And then in 65, right, they changed the rule that with the Associated Press that they would name their champion after the bowl season. And by 1968, that decision was made permanent. But in 1960, these teams, the national champion was decided before the bowl games. And with television coming on the scene, with the importance of the bowl games rising, a lot of these bowl games would have big implications on how these teams were viewed from their season as a whole. Minnesota was named the 1960 national champion that year. They had the same record as Missouri before the forfeit was overturned, and then lost the Rose Bowl to the University of Washington, who also claims 1960 as the national championship. Ole Miss claims it. They had a tie against LSU and then beat a weak Rice team in the Cotton Bowl. Missouri's claim, I think, really stems from the fact that they beat number four Navy and one of the best players in the country, a guy named Joe Bellino, who won the Heisman Trophy that year. They went on the next year in the second game of the 1961 season to beat the national champion Minnesota Golden Gophers as well. And their record is as flawless as anybody's that season. It's really, you know, this has happened a lot of times, but it was a round robin of people who could have claimed that national championship. Iowa, Washington, Minnesota, Missouri, and Ole Miss all had a claim on it. There's a polling system, P-O-L-I-N-G, which was the NCAA did have as a national champion selector, even though the AP was the one that most people viewed as who really was the national champion. But since the NCAA didn't name a national champion, these selector bodies did pick, and they picked Missouri. There were others that picked Ole Miss. There were others that picked, obviously, Minnesota, UPI, and AP. So, I mean, who are these championships for? You know, it was 60 years ago. If it's for Missouri fans, then Mizzou is the national champion. You know, they had a great season, and there was a governing body that said they won the national championship. So why not claim it? Like I said, we're all trying to be Alabama, right? We might as well be loosey-goosey like they are, huh? So, but no, I mean, I fully believe Missouri was the best team in the country that year, and so I stand by it that they were the 1960 national champions.
Brendan, at this point, no reason to change your mind. Alabama claims one as far back as 73 when they were undefeated. I think they were declared the UPI national champion, then lost to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It was
and
legal.
UPI didn't change the rules about naming their champion after the Bulls until 1974.
Right. So, I'm with you. We will forever declare that as the Missouri. This show will recognize Missouri as a national champion that year.
That's all I wanted.
Brendan, thank you. Good luck with the book. It's a fantastic note from history. The name of the book, Respectable Roughnecks, Brendan Steenbergen, the foreword by our friend Gary Pinkle. Take a short break. Back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back as we work our way through this hour, and let's check in with Billy in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Billy.
Paul, you are an intellectual plethora of knowledge.
Thank you.
You go through religion, you go through sports, and then you go through politics. It's absolutely incredible to listen to you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right. And so one of the things you flippantly talked about Captain D's, you know, as like one of those offset restaurants, you know, look, I took my wife there like 3 weeks ago and was setting up for Lent. And it was $48 for just me and her to get the Captain D's.
No
special.
Kidding.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So other than the expense, what was it good?
Delicious.
Okay.
Look, they make it for you right.
I haven't
then.
Been in a long. I haven't been to a Captain D's lately, but I'm hungry. Have you been to one, Randy?
Come on, man. I mean, you know, you get two crabs, you get two filet of fish, which is, you know, pollock, of course, and then you know, like four or five shrimp. It is delicious. I'm okay. Not going to deny it.
No, listen.
You gotta
wait 30 minutes. What is the go-to at Captain D's?
It is the Captain D's special.
And that's fried everything or broiled everything?
Yes.
I think I knew the answer to that, knowing that you're in Alabama.
Yeah, of course. And dude, they're all over the place. And with Larry, you know, I heard the whole conversation. And what I want to let everybody know, look, Larry's got a heart condition, everybody. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to introduce him to somebody that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, I'm not trying to be ageism here, but yeah, not that I'm young, but I think Larry can handle a
what?
70-year-old, what? Don't you?
What? Well, can you? Well, look, I was told a long time ago, my father taught me a long time ago, look, Bill, at about 45 to like 47, they either turn hot or cold.
Okay.
If they turn cold, you're fine. If they turn hot, get ready.
Okay. Well, maybe maybe you're right about that. Maybe she would. I mean, I don't. I agree with you. I don't think Larry sounds like a guy that you want to be racing up stadium steps with. But I do think he's eminently capable of having a seafood dinner with this apparently very charming middle to upper age woman.
Well played.
Yeah. I haven't kept this job for as long as I have by offending 70-year-old women. I mean, they're right at the cornerstone of our audience. I mean, Taylor Swift's got an international European tour. I've got a senior tour coming up this fall where I'm doing a lot of senior centers on Wednesday night.
She's got to hope she held on to Kelce as long as she does, because, you know, we all saw kind of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, no, I don't know Taylor, but if she called me from Melbourne tonight, I would say break up over the phone before you come back. You don't need this guy. This guy is running a little bit hot.
Better way to die, right?
I mean, you've dated. I mean, you've had some breakup songs that I think are great songs, but you don't need this guy to bubble over.
You're talking about you, right?
No, I'm talking about Kelce. I'm.
Oh.
I mean, this guy. I mean, this guy's a lunatic, don't you think?
Well, you know, you're playing tight end.
Yeah.
What else do you expect? You know, I mean, you're getting the heat every time you get that ball.
You're right. You're not getting the cool cucumber at quarterback. You're getting a guy who's in overdrive.
Right. You're not getting the squishy center.
No.
You're getting the, like, absolutely crust on the end. And, you know, and hey, look, I see it going. I heard it earlier. I see it going, you know, maybe another month or two. And then after that.
Well,
you know,
Billy, it ends when he tours with her in Europe. I mean, you don't try that, right? In Paris. They show you to the sign.
Japan, right?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.